Matthew chapter number 7, we'll begin reading with verse number 15. If you remember last week, we began talking, or kind of the whole lesson was about judging others. And we got into the scripture where how can we take care of ourselves when we're looking what others are doing. And then, if you remember, I made a statement last week that said, just because God tells us not to judge others, and just because God tells us, you know, how can we take care of the problems in our life when we're looking at the problems in other people's life, even though God tells us that He does not expect us to just walk around just blindly and think that everything's okay in every place. Because I want you to look at what verse number 15 says. Beware of false prophets. Now again, Jesus is talking to His disciples. He's took them up to the mountain. He's getting ready to send them out, and He's given them instructions. And He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. See, sometimes people want to take the scripture before this. When we were talking about how can you say to thy brother, let me pull a mote out of thine eye, and behold, there's a beam in thine own. We want to take that and we get too broad with it to where we are afraid to even make good common sense decisions. I was going to say good common sense judgments, but let's back up and just say decisions. Because sometimes we want to be... Actually, society wants us to be so right with God. They want us to be so understanding and so non-judgmental that they expect us just to accept everything. And that's not what God's Word tells us to do. Because even here, He's warning His disciples. He says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse number 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, as we look at these verses of Scripture, this Scripture is talking about what you are consistently proving, what you are consistently providing with your life, the influence that you are consistently given of whether you are walking with God or whether you are not. Now here He's saying to beware of these false prophets. He said because you can watch and you can see the fruit that's in their lives. You can see what's going on in their lives and you can make a good decision about whether or not to follow these people. And He says to beware of them because they're sheep in a ravening wolf. They're dressed as sheep, but they're ravening wolves. Y'all may not remember this, but when I was little, I remember there was a Looney Tune. There was a little cartoon that come on Sunday morning, and I cannot remember the dog and the wolf's name. I think one of them was Harry, and I wish I could remember the other, because they would show up at work at the same time, and there was a little punch clock on the side of the tree, and they would walk over and they would punch this little clock, and they would go to work. Now, of course, the wolf's agenda all day long was to steal some of the sheep and go eat some of the sheep. And the sheep dog's agenda was to be sure that the wolf didn't get any of the sheep. And the wolf would try different tactics all day long. But one that I remember is one day there was a sheep out there and amongst the sheep. Now this is on Looney Tunes. I didn't see this out in the pasture nowhere. But there was a sheep out there, and this little sheep, he goes tipping along on his tiptoes, and you know, that makes a little sound that when he's walking along. And he goes out there, and he grabs up one of the sheep, and he takes off with it. And he gets almost out of the pasture, and all of a sudden, here comes the sheepdog and just stops him. And I'm a little kid, and I'm like, well, that's a sheep and a sheep. What in the world? And there's a little zipper on the front of the sheep, and it just unzips, and inside of that sheep is the wolf. And every time I read this scripture, I think about that Looney Tune. And that's about the way that it really is. There are men who are posing who look like they are sheep. They look like shepherds that you could follow. But I want to tell you something. If you'll listen and if you'll watch, I'm not asking you to judge. I'm asking you to inspect fruit. Because the Bible tells us that we can inspect fruit. And if you have a man that is leading you, that he's, again, here he's talking about false prophets. If you have a man that is leading you, and he leads you in a way that the fruit is not good fruit, then don't follow. If you have a man that is leading you that gets away from this right here, you know, that's one thing that I always want to do is I want to stay in the Word every time that I preach. Every now and again, I'll give you my opinion. And when I do, I try my best to highlight, this is my opinion. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you my opinion's right, and you can go with it, but that's my opinion. No, just joking, but when I try to preach, I do my best to stay in God's Word. Because here's the thing. If I stay in God's Word, if you want to call me on Sunday night and debate what I preach, if we're debating my opinion, I might lose. But if we're debating God's Word, I don't care if you feel like you won or not when you got done, I'm still right if I stay right here. I don't have to debate this. God's Word is sure, and it stood for thousands of years, and it's going to stand until we're all gone, and I don't have to debate God's Word. So I want to stand right on God's Word. The other thing is sometimes you don't understand. Yes, you may understand, but sometimes it'll hit me right in the middle of the night. I get to thinking about all these little children running around here, and I get to thinking about them saying, "That's my pastor, that's my pastor," and I get to kind of absorbing and thinking about the responsibility that I have to preach the Word of God to them and to show them the ways of God, and I can get just plumb tore up scared about it because I am having a big influence in their spiritual life, and nothing scares me worse than thinking that I would lead them in the wrong direction. Nothing scares me worse than allowing my life to become an influence that would negatively affect their spiritual life or to lead them away from Christ or to lead them away from a walk with Christ. And here, the Bible says to beware of those false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Man, it all looks good on the outside. They got the suit on. They got the Bible. They got the talk. They got the hair and the shoes to go along with it. And yet, the Bible says, but yet they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. You'll know them real quick by the fruit that they produce consistently. Now look, if you watch me long enough, you're going to see me mess up. If you watch me long enough, I'm going to make a mistake. But what is my life consistently producing? If it's consistently producing bad fruit, don't follow me by no stretch of the imagination. Verse number 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Again, it don't say anything about judging them. It's not my responsibility to judge them, but I can know them. You know what? It don't take very long. Most of the time when you're around Christian people, it doesn't take long for your spirit to bear witness with their spirit. You can be around somebody for just a little while and most of the time tell whether they're saved or not. Now look, I know a lot of people can put on a good show, but they've been people that I've been around, and it doesn't take very long for me to be able for my spirit to bear witness with their spirit. In verse number 20, it says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. But can I go ahead and say this too? Do you know that people know you by your fruits? See, it's easy for us to say, oh, I'm going to know them by their fruits. I can watch their life, and when I see their fruit, I'm going to know whether they're walking with Christ. I'm going to know whether they're a false prophet. I'm going to know whether they're all mouth and no action. I'm going to know whether this or whether that. But the same can be said right back to us. Sometimes I think it would be good for us just to practice going and standing in the mirror and looking and saying, I know you by your fruit. Because sometimes my fruit may not be exactly what God wants my fruit to be. My fruit may not be exactly what it should be. And I don't want people looking at me and saying, I know you by your fruit, and your fruit is bad. Verse number 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know, there's a lot of people that proclaim this and that and whatever, and I won't get into all of those different things, but the Bible clearly says here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I firmly believe that one day when I get to heaven, I'm a-going, I hope you are, and one day when I get to heaven, there are going to be people that I'm surprised to see, one way or the other. There's going to be people that I didn't think would be there that are there, and there's going to be people that I thought would be there that are not. Because, you know, there's so much about our personal relationship with Christ that we just don't even comprehend. It is a personal relationship between us and Christ. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's men that stand in pulpits every Sunday that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I mean, you can get up here and I can study the Bible. I can read the Bible. I can prepare a message. And I can get up and I can preach, and you know, the Bible tells me that His Word will not return void. And we know that it's not me that when I get done preaching a message, if you get anything out of it, it's not because of me, but it's because of His Holy Spirit. And I believe that, this don't get too confused in this, there are people who have been saved under preachers who are not saved. What do you mean by that? God's word will not return void. God's word will convict. God's word will draw. God's word will show love. But that doesn't mean the man that delivered it was saved. I believe that there's preachers every Sunday that stand in the pulpit that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Who are they? I don't know. Have no idea. It ain't up to me to decide that. But I believe that that's the way that it is. And he says here, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter in into the kingdom of heaven. Verse number 22, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. Look, they're already saying, Lord, Lord. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? Look, I want you to see the only proclamation that they had as they're standing before God. Look, he said, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. And look, the only thing that they can do is talk about their works. The only thing that they, the only rebuttal that they had, they said, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And done many wonderful works. Once again, our works will get us to hell, and that's all they'll get us to. But here, what if in verse 22, if these people could have said, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, don't you remember the day that I accepted you as my personal Savior? God, don't you remember the day that I... See, that is the only cry that we have in the day of judgment. That is the only thing that we can offer God in the day that we stand before Him. It's not going to matter here. They were saying, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works? Well, all of that... I mean, some of that could be good in our lives and whatnot, but the only thing that's going to matter is if I can say, but God, I remember the day that I got down on my knees and I accepted you as my personal Savior. And you know what? That's going to take care of the rest of it. My works is not going to matter from that time forward, because the only work that's going to matter is the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross for me, that he gave his life and he shed his blood, and my sins have been covered by that precious blood. And when I stand before God, I'm not going to have to say, Lord, Lord, don't you remember all of those sermons that I preached? Lord, Lord, don't you remember those people that I prayed for? Or Lord, Lord, don't you remember the money that I give to the church? But the only thing that I'm going to have to do is say, Lord, Lord, my name's in the book. It was written there when I was 7 years old, and that's going to take care of it. Not everyone that cries, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. And they said, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Hadn't we done some great works? Hadn't we done some things in the name of Jesus? And let me just go ahead and add in to verse number 21, where he says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. There are some people, listen, real close right here, for almost everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit that resembles it, very much so. Satan has something that he can offer you. Let's just take one in particular real quick. Let's talk about salvation. Salvation is a heart experience. It is a saving of the soul. It's not anything else but me knowing in my heart that Jesus Christ gave his life for me, that I'm a sinner and that I need forgiveness of my sins. And you know what Satan can offer instead of that? A head knowledge. There are a lot of people who I really believe that they know God's word. Hey, I bump into people who don't go to church who will tell you they're not saved, and they know God's word better than I do. There are people who know God's word. They can talk Bible with you all day. They're good moral people. They stand for the right thing. They say all the right things. They don't cuss. They don't drink. They don't do all this wickedness that we consider wickedness out here in the world. They do all of the right things, and they've got a head knowledge of God. But until that head knowledge gets transferred to the heart and they fully trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that head knowledge is not worth a hill of beans. That head knowledge is not something that's going to save them. And he says here, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? When you see some things sometimes and you go, oh, that just had to be God. Step back for just a minute, because if it is of God, then it will flourish, and if it's not, it'll come to naught. There's been some things in my life that I was like, I don't know if this is of God or not of God. And when it went boom and crashed to the ground, I realized real quick it wasn't of God. It was a man-made deal. It was something that didn't have God nowhere near it. If we'll set back to sometimes and watch, we can see whether things are of God or not. Verse number 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." These people who say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done all of these works?" Can you imagine being in a life that you're doing all of these things in the name of Jesus and proclaiming the name of Jesus, and it's all a head knowledge and it's all a show, and it's all, and then standing before God and I'm going, "I never knew you." Notice he didn't say, "I knew you, but blah, blah, blah." He says, "I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Your name is not in the book." He says, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Our works can be so good, but without Jesus Christ saving our soul, our work is no good. Verse number 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." See, look, God don't tell us the things that he's told us in his word. See, some people, we've got it all wrong sometimes. And if we're not careful, the devil even jump on our shoulders sometimes as Christians and say, "Look, look at how much fun this world is having. Look, wouldn't it be nice, instead of going to church on Sunday, wouldn't it be nice just to take and go camping for the weekend?" Now, every now and again, that's fun. That's nice. You need some time with your family. I won't dog you for that. But when the things of this world becomes more important than the things of God, and it's for our pleasure, we become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we can real quickly get ourselves in trouble. And look, he says, "Therefore, whoever saith these things of mine and doeth them," see, God don't tell us to walk with him. God don't tell us to stay away from sin. God don't tell us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He don't tell us these things so that we don't go have fun. Because I want to tell you, the Bible even teaches, it even teaches us that there is pleasure in sin for a season. There is pleasure in sin for a season. And you know what? Our flesh can see nothing but that season. Our flesh can see nothing but what a good time. Look, these people are having fun. They're at the beach. They're at the lake. They're doing this. They're doing that. Man, it's just, man, that looks like fun. And your flesh sees that, okay? But our flesh can't see the other side of that. Our flesh can't see the harm that comes to you spiritually. And what God is saying here, if you'll do these sayings of mine, a lot of people think that God tells us not to do the things of the world in order so that we'll just sit around with an old dried up face all the time, that we won't have no fun, and we have to be little pew sitters with our hands folded and just we got to mind manners. That's what we got to do. No, that's not what God's saying. If God didn't let us have a good time, we'd all be in trouble here at Fellowship. I'll tell you that right now. Because we have a good time if we don't do anything else. But a lot of people think that God tells us to stay away from sin to keep us from having fun. But he tells us to stay away from sin because of this. "And the rain descended," in verse number 25, "and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house." What house is that? That is the house of verse number 24. "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." So the house that's on the rock is the house that is obeying the sayings of the Lord. Not because he don't want us to have fun, but because when things happen like they happen in verse number 25, and the rain descends, and the floods come, and the winds blow, and it beats upon the house, if you're walking where you're supposed to be with God, if you're standing on that rock of Jesus Christ, then your house will stand. Your house will be sure. It's on a foundation. Now, if we're going with every way that the wind blows, and man, we have give in to the flesh, and man, we're just whatever is whatever. If it feels good, do it. Man, this is just wonderful time, and we're pleasing this. Then we're going to be in a place that when the winds blow, when the rain comes, then we're going to be in verse number 26. "And everyone that heareth that one of these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house." See, look, in both situations, the house that was on the rock and the house that was on the sand, in both situations, the rain descended, the winds blew, the storm came. Because we're saved, because we're following what God wants us to do, Notice, remember, in the first one, it was he who heareth these sayings of mine, I will liken him to a man that built his house upon a rock. And that house that's on the rock, still the winds came, still the rain descended, still the storm came. The house that's on the sand, still it came. It's just because we're built on the rock, don't make us invincible from the storm. It don't make us to where the rain don't come. Some of you have walked through storms since you've been saved, and you can sit here tonight and say, oh yes, the storm may still come. But you're still standing. You're still standing. You're still going on for the glory of God because you were on the rock. Because we're trying to do what God says and keeping these sayings and we're built upon the rock doesn't mean that the floods won't come, but it means that when it comes, the house fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And the ones that hear not these sayings, hear these sayings and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, going whichever way we please, just whatever it was, whatever. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And it fell. And listen, and great was the fall of it. If we're founded and we are standing on Jesus Christ and he is our rock, and we're doing our best to obey the sayings that he has given us in his word, when all of that stuff comes, hey, I'm not going to tell you that you won't rock a little bit. I ain't going to tell you that you might not stammer. You might get a little tipsy. But when it's all said and done, you'll still be standing if you're doing the sayings that God give us, because you're prepared for it. Hey, yeah, you can build on the sand if you want to, but don't be surprised when the storm comes if you don't fall, and great will be the fall of it. He don't tell us to not have fun, to not enjoy this, to keep us from living and having this wonderful time that we think that our flesh could have. He does all of that to prepare us for a storm and to keep us on the rock. That's what he does it for. It's not a punishment from God. I know maybe y'all don't face this. Maybe it doesn't bother y'all whatsoever. But just every now and again, little devil will jump here on your shoulder. I always think about them cartoons when they got a devil on one side and an angel on the other. And that little devil will go to chirping in your ear. If you didn't have to go to church today, you could go do this. Hey, if you didn't have to go to church tonight, you could do this. Hey, if you didn't have to live right and do right, you could go do this. And it just yabba, yabba, yabba. And before you know it, it sounds like that lion roaring in your head. And sometimes the devil gets up there and he does all that. And could I do all that? Absolutely. I'll go ahead and do my best to make a commitment to you as a church. If I ever decide that I'm going to turn left, I'll turn loose here first. Okay, I'll do my best, and we're going to pray that that never happens and we never go down that road. I'm not going to say it can't never happen, because then I'd be putting myself up for failure. So, but if we ever get to that place where I think I'm going to turn left, I know I'm pointing right. If I'm going to turn left, y'all's left. If I'm going to turn left, I'll do my best to turn loose here first, because I don't ever want to do anything to hurt this church. I don't ever want to do anything to hurt these ones that are looking at me. But if I ever decide to do that, I can do that. I'm free will. You know what? Tomorrow I can do anything I want to. I can sin or I can follow God. I can or I can't. It's my free will. God didn't take my free will from me. But if my free will, I choose to do the sayings that God has given me, it's not given to me to not have fun. It's given to me so that I'll be founded upon the rock. Verse number 27, one more time. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall. Some of you tonight have been through some storms that if you wouldn't follow in God when the storm came, you would have fell and great would have been the fall. Because when you fall, it inevitably hurts other people. I forgot this part. When I was talking to my son last night, I told him, I said, you know what? I said, all of our choices have consequences. Whatever we choose to do has a consequence. And the bad thing about it is our choices don't only affect us. See, the fact that you chose to do what you did and the game didn't turn out right, it didn't just affect you. You weren't the only loser. There was 8 other losers on the field and however many in the dugout. Your choices affected other people. and your choices as a Christian affect others. Well, I'll do what I want to. You can. But I'm going to tell you, Randy, you quit tomorrow, it's going to affect Sarah. You quit tomorrow, it's going to affect Suzanne. You quit tomorrow, it's going to affect me. It's going to affect other people around you. Our choices affect other people. Just when this house fell, and great was the fall of it, it affected others. Verse 28, I got to get done. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, and God, we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I pray that you'll help us to be like this one that was founded upon the rock. God, help us to make the decisions that we follow your word, that we watch out for people leading us in the wrong directions, and God, we always follow you. Help us as a church body here, God, that we follow you. I'm so thankful that you've allowed me to be the pastor here, but God, don't ever let me get into my own ideas and my own ways, but God, help me to always to seek you, and that we'll always follow you in your ways, because we'll never go wrong if we follow you. God, I pray that you'll help us to always realize that people are watching our fruit. God, I pray that you'll help us as we go from day to day, that we'll follow you, that we'll be just founded upon the rock, and God, that we'll always point others to the cross of Christ. God, we want to thank you and we praise you most of all that one day you loved us so much that you allowed your son, Jesus Christ, to come and give his life for us. And it's his sweet name we pray. Amen.